You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Galvin Butenoff coming to you live. They are at our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show today, very much looking forward to this, guys. Amy Tubbs is a journalism teacher at Pulaski High School, and they have done a really good job over the years of really doing an excellent job of keeping an eye on what's happening in Pulaski. This is an example of yet another news desert. We've talked about this many times, that there are a lot of areas where there is no local news, there's no local reporting. So we have high school journalists who are stepping in to fill in that gap. So Amy Tubbs is going to be joining us a little bit later on this hour. Next hour, we are going to talk about immigration in the U.S. One particular story out of Madison this morning involving a nanny. So we will be talking about that. Also, next hour for Audio Sorbet after the 10:30 news. That's the part of the show where we lighten things up, get away from the news, and talk about lighter, sillier things. Today, or actually, yeah, I believe it was yesterday, Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon, celebrated an anniversary. So we were talking about this. Cartoon strips used to be a big part of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
So what were some of your favorite cartoon strips from back in the day? Does the paper even have them anymore?
That's a great question.
I subscribe to the Journal Sentinel online.
Yeah.
But I don't actually get the physical paper anymore. But we're going to talk about favorite cartoons, comic strips from years gone by. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Take a Bite edition. Stick around for that. Wanted to start off with this, though. Senate, this is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Baylor Spears with the byline. Senate passes bill to eliminate 400-year veto and redefine abortion. A bipartisan group of senators also approved a bill to bar health care for undocumented immigrants. This is their last floor session of the year in the Wisconsin Senate. Did they take up things that Wisconsinites have said repeatedly they would like? Like medical marijuana or red flag laws or universal background checks. No, they didn't do any of the things that Wisconsinites have asked for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's a surprise.
No, of course not. And now they get to just make laws on things that are already laws. I don't know if you know this, but at the Matinair on Air State House we have here at Radio Park, I'm putting forth a bill that's going to say that murder is bad. I hope you join me in my bill that says murder bad, Cool Ranch Doritos rule, and Baja Blast should be available every day of the year. That's what I'm doing with my – it's about as much as they're doing up there in Madison because – again, you know, we talk about this over and over again. People of Wisconsin, regardless of their party affiliation, have made it quite clear about the things on which they find important. And it is education, it's childcare, it's healthcare, it's quality of life, affordability, and the state house is doing none of those things.
No, they do what they want.
They do what they
essentially
want.
They do what they want.
But they go on Twitter and they talk about all the terrible things that are happening in Wisconsin, how Tony Evers is so terrible, and property taxes and energy bills. Well, okay, he's the governor. That's true. But if there was something you wanted to do about it, then do something. And getting rid of this 400-year veto is more for show, because I know that, because if you go on Twitter, you can see them whining about this all the time. Well, then, do you know what? He wouldn't have had to do that if he just funded education, maybe a little bit more than, you know, a generational increase, Robin Voss. That's nothing compared to what you should have been doing over the years to help grow our Wisconsin educational system, including not diverting hundreds of millions of dollars to a second school system, i.e. Yeah. the voucher program.
Yeah. And we will include this in our show notes because, Greg, I think it's important for people to keep track of this because, again, it's one of those things that if you're not aware of it, you're not gonna check up on it. It's that tracker. What is that tracker that you found?
Oh, yes. It's from the Wisconsin Education Network. It tells you. So what you do is you're going to go to that website and you're going to find where you live and then find your school district or your school system. And it will tell you in that tracker how much of your public money, public taxpayer funds, your property taxes that you may have voted to raise.
Increase.
How much of that is going to be diverted to the private school voucher system, or just the voucher system, I should say, charter schools, whatnot. It will tell you how much money is being diverted, and you probably will be shocked. Because, Jane, that's something that we hear from now quite a bit, is that people, you know, we got busy lives, we're doing things, and money is money, and it always just seems to be there when it comes to government. Things get paid for, and they somehow find it. And while we say things like, I don't want my taxes to go up, or I don't want my taxes to pay for this, we don't think about the fact that when it comes to this particular issue, it's our taxpayer dollars that are funding these private school vouchers, and that money going to private school vouchers is being taken away from our public school system. So when the public schools aren't doing as well, which, speaking to Sholly Pittman this week, they're doing better than some on social media will want you to believe.
Yes.
When they're not getting the money they need to have a good, solid system, better paid teachers, smaller classrooms, things of that, making sure a teacher doesn't have to fork out $300 to $500 a year their own money for school supplies. That's one of the reasons why it's happening, is because we're taking those hundreds of millions, not thousands, not even millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and throwing it to a private school voucher system with no oversight. No checks and balances, nothing that says like, hey, if you want to be a part of this program, you have to do X, Y, and Z. No. Here's a check. It'll clear. Don't worry. Go with God. All right. And that's what we do.
It's all good.
That's all good.
Well, and you mentioned affordability and energy rates. Excuse me. And I don't know if you're not on social media, you probably haven't seen this. But Wisconsin Republicans have been all over this week about these rate hikes that are coming from We Energies. Mm-hmm. And Tom Tiffany posted this week about how wrong this was and why isn't the governor doing something about energy rates, and it's the governor's public service commission and blah, 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 blah. And I just posted on it, said, well, I would love to see all your examples of when Wisconsin Republicans have stepped in and stopped rate hikes. Mm-hmm. I said, please provide me with links on all the times you guys have stepped up and stopped rate hikes from happening. Yeah, I haven't. I'm still waiting.
And if somebody, I saw somebody post something similar about, you know, raging against energy hikes. And it's something I think that, once again, you ask Wisconsinites, they're going to all resoundingly say, that's bad. And if they don't, they probably work for We Energies. But Governor Evers, in the 2025 budget this year, there was a provision to end the state sales tax on household energy bills, and effective this past October, which projected to save Wisconsin households over $178 million. So Governor Evers can't make your energy free. He can't say, hey, we're going to subsidize it so it's only $50 a month for everybody. But he did something. He did something for us, $178 million. And that might not be a lot in the long run, but every bit counts. I mean, you take all that sales tax over a year, that could pay for some groceries, that could buy some school supplies, that can fix a car or whatnot, pay for a week or two of childcare. But yeah, he did something. Now, what are you going to do? Because last time I checked, Tom Tiffany, all these other people who are on social media, they're not really like raging against big corporations. They're the ones taking the money. And I don't really see them standing up to them. Do you, Jane?
I don't. No. Shockingly, no. And Again, Tom Tiffany and all the Republicans talking about what a disaster the ACA is. They've all been in office for a pretty long time, and I don't recall them ever doing anything about this or presenting their fabulous, wonderful, better than the ACA healthcare plans. If you are just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, we are talking about an article from today's Wisconsin Examiner about the final session of the year for the Wisconsin Senate. Mm-hmm. They passed bills eliminating the annual $325 revenue increase for school districts. It will define abortion to not include treatment for ectopic pregnancies and also block state and federal dollars from being used on health care for people who are not here legally. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein said she's dismayed and disgusted that lawmakers weren't taking up bills that focused on affordability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't do that. And the Republican legislature is the one that sets the agenda.
Yes.
Right?
I mean the last time I checked, Jane, and I'm as one person on the live stream called me an idiot, from what I understand, the people in power who are the Republicans are the ones who take up the bills. So it's not like the Democrats, or as they would call them, the Democrat Party, are the ones who are blocking anything. And also, let's just, the 400-year veto, and I might ask Dan to, like, we might talk about it with him on Friday. I would like to have him maybe explain a really quick version of this timeline, because people hear the 400-year thing, and they
the increase, yeah,
you know. And they'll either say yay or boo and not maybe know a lot. And I'm one of those people who don't know every single detail. But what I do know from this is that this is yet another way the Republicans are suffocating money out of the educational system here in Wisconsin. It's not about affordability. And Wisconsinites would probably agree, because a majority of Wisconsinites voted to raise their own property taxes to fund their school system. So if you said, hey, instead of a referendum, we're going to raise your taxes a little bit this year and a little bit the following year to pay for the education here in Wisconsin. And by the way, that money that you're going to pay is still going to be a portion that will be diverted to voucher funding. So really, right, all they've done is once again put their boot on the neck of education in Wisconsin. And that's not what we want. That's not what we've said we need here in the state. And you're right. Dianne Hesselbein is correct. They're not taking up the issues on the last day before their break leading to 2026, which, let's not forget, next year is
the
8-week work year for the Wisconsin,
yes,
legislature. 8 weeks, and then it's a sunny, funny vacation down to wherever you'd like, and we'll probably end up paying for it too.
I think we probably will. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're talking about an article in today's Wisconsin Examiner about the final day of the Wisconsin Senate and all the things they're getting done. When we return, some pushback. We talked about this a little bit earlier on sports betting in Wisconsin, and from a group that you might find surprising. We'll have all the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, looking forward to talking to Amy Tubbs. She is a journalism teacher at Pulaski High School. And Pulaski is kind of a news desert. They don't have a local reporting outlet there. There's no local newspaper, so the student journalists have kind of stepped into the role. I'm very much looking forward to talking to Amy and her work with these journalism kids at Pulaski High School. That is on the way. If you're just joining us right before the break, we were talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner about the final day in the Wisconsin State Senate. And we had mentioned, Greg, that tracking, a couple of people texted in about that. Leaf from Racine, listening on WAUK said, please repeat the tracking site for property taxes and school subsidies. Matt from Altoona, Greg mentioned a way to find out how much taxpayer money is going to voucher schools in our district. What is that website?
So it's okay. I'm going to, because it's, I cannot repeat it here because it's just,
is it so long?
It's a very long one. You can, I will put it in the show notes today. So you're going to go to civicmedia.us. You're going to go to today's show and Matt and Air on Air. Go to shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, today's show in hour one. And you will find that, and I'll make it very clear. I'll just say, to find out more, click here. It's from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. It's their 2024-2025 privatization impacts by district. So you will go on there, you'll click the link, because it's a very, it's a lot of ones and zeros and Zs. But you're going to go in there, and you are going to type in your school district, and you are going to then just scroll down, and you will find how much they spend on your school district. So I'm just going to pick one at random right now. I'm looking at Baraboo. Baraboo has about 138,000, about state watchers, $1.13 million from the Baraboo school.
To private voucher schools.
So you go to that link, click that link, type in where your school system is, and you'll find out how much is spent there. And you won't be surprised to see some of the bigger cities spending a lot of money on this. So it will be there for you. I suggest you bookmark it and tell your friends, because again, this is a topic that gets real murky, gets real nuanced. There's a lot of weeds involved in it, and you can easily be like, I don't know what's going on. Just know this. You as a taxpayer spends money on two school systems.
One, we're funding two separate districts.
For one for everyone, one for some, and the one for some has no rules.
Yeah. Again, go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on shows. Go down to Matt and Air on Air. And then if you click on number hour number one from today, that will have that link in there. Go to civicmedia.us. Yeah. We did talk about this not too long ago. Jesse Opoyan in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has the byline today. Backers of legalizing online sports betting confront conservative pushback. In Wisconsin, the bill that would allow online sports betting in Wisconsin getting opposition, not a surprise, from companies like DraftKings and FanDuel. And now the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is out saying this is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
Well, not only that, but luminaries like Dan O'Donnell and Vicky McKenna, they hate this idea. This is just...
They do.
Ew, boo, no!
And I don't, and personally, I don't think this is a good thing. I don't think this is good for anybody.
I mean,
I don't.
My thing is that we do it anyways. You have certain abilities to do it anyways. And if we're going to regulate it and somehow, if the state can make money off of it, if we can somehow gather tax revenue from it, then yes. But if you're telling me that it's not a good thing because DraftKings and FanDuel don't like it, I don't care. That doesn't bother
me
at
all. That's not my issue. Yeah. My concern is that gambling addiction is real, and gambling can cause major, major damage to families because people lose their entire life savings.
And I understand that point, but I'm gonna harken back to conversations we had about marijuana legalization. We cannot not do something because some are affected by this. Those people should seek treatment, whether it's for drugs, gambling, whatever that may be. But if people We tried doing that once before in the 20s. It didn't work at all. Prohibition just is not a thing.
Prohibition doesn't work.
And whether we're talking about hemp, THC, we're talking about weed, we're talking about alcohol, if you find a way to legalize it, find a way to regulate it, and then put forth at least support for programs that can help those who are affected negatively by it. But this is just, it's just sort of a terribly, terribly kept secret here in Wisconsin. And the memo from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, love saying that name. They said, instead of reforming inconsistencies in our current law, these bills attempt to end run around federal law and the state constitution, expanding and exposing an already broken, illegal statewide gambling. I mean, that's the thing. Then just make it illegal or make it legal. But this, it just feels like we're just not really, it's like with this, it just feels like weed, Jane. This feels like the weed topic.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, this is bipartisan legislation.
Yeah.
There are Republicans who signed on to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting how all of a sudden there's such pushback about this.
Howard Markline and Chris Alfheim. Like those two names, not people you see at the lunch table together usually. And right. what I'm seeing is Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the radio people, FanDuel, DraftKings. I don't see a lot of politicians saying this is not a good idea. It feels like this is going to go through. Once there's tribal consultation, it feels like this is going to happen.
Well, again, it's about money, isn't mm-hmm. it? And who feels like they might be losing money?
You know,
really, that's kind of what that is.
Jane, I really feel like this whole deal is going to just bankrupt FanDuel's and DraftKings. It's really going to chip into those billions.
What will they do?
Yeah.
We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk about high school journalism on the other side with Amy Tubbs. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are very excited to be joined by our next guest. She is the journalism instructor at Pulaski High School. Amy Tubbs is here. Good morning. Good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We reached out to you because of this great article that Calvin found in the Wisconsin Watch, and it says, "Meet the Teens, Keeping This Northeast Wisconsin Village from Becoming a News Desert. Pulaski News is a fixture of the community and a tool to prepare students for the workforce and the last official source keeping residents informed about hyper-local action." So, tell us about the importance of Pulaski News. This has been a really important part of that community for a long time, from what I understand.
It has. It started back in 1942, so we've been going over 80 years. And we are in charge of publishing the town paper. Our students are out looking for stories. They are interviewing people in the community. We do a lot of school news as well, but we've really tried to go out in the community and find things that people are interested in. We try to find individuals that maybe people don't know much about, or they see them and they don't realize, oh, there's this really cool backstory that this person has. So we're trying to tell those kind of stories, and people are enjoying that and they're still subscribing.
Where is your community? What is the size of the community?
Last time I checked, population was around 3,000, but I think it's grown since then. Our high school has about 1,100 students, so we have a pretty big square mileage around the community. So Pulaski is located just west of Green Bay.
Okay.
So when you're teaching journalism, what's like kids walk in, they say, "I want to write a story." Are they interested? And what's like the first step for them to understand the process of being an investigative journalist or just writing a story? What are the first days of teaching the kids?
Well, the first days are, how do you interview? How do you talk to people? How do you get in touch? And the very first interview they do is interviewing another student in the class, because one of the first stories we publish is the staff bio. Mm-hmm. So get to know this year's staff. And it's just really interesting because of how people communicate these days. They are so used to just texting each other or Snapchatting or, you know, all those different things that when it comes time to sit down eye to eye and talk to somebody, they're a little nervous, you know. And even if it's another student in the class and they already know them, we're a little nervous about that because we don't do that in our daily life. So we do a practice with that, and they write their first article, and then we start sending them out community events. You know, we talk about who wants to, you know, take photographs. We have a staff meeting every Wednesday, and we sit down and we talk about what are some things coming up in the community that we're aware of in school, who wants to cover what. So they have choice in the stories that they're going to cover. But we also say, well, we really need to cover this story. It's important. Let's get somebody on that, you know.
But that is how a newsroom works. You have editorial meetings. You have assignments. These are the cover, you know. news editor decides what's important, right? What needs to be covered, and then you send people out from there. Are they covering like really exciting things like school board meetings and town, you know, utility board meetings, or not necessarily that kind of news?
Not necessarily that kind of news, but if something comes out of one of those meetings that's important, like one of our local parks just got an upgrade. They applied for a grant, and there was this super old footbridge in the park that has been removed, and they're putting in the new one that's just about finished. So that kind of thing might come out of it, but we're typically not sending them to the meetings like that.
I'm curious about the kids who walk in and say, I want to try this, I want to take this class. Because as you said, you know, we don't live in a world now where young people and even people my age in their 40s aren't sitting down with a newspaper, and I don't mean this offensively towards them, but aren't appreciating the process of journalism, of that, the fire inside to find a story, even if it is going to a town meeting and reporting and making sure that I am the voice that gets this news to the people so they know, because someone out there wants to read it. But do you have kids coming through saying, I don't know what this is at all? Or do you have kids who's like, my parents raised me on newspapers, I know what to do, and I really want to do this. So like, what's the spectrum of children who come through and their interest in the topic?
We really have a variety of everything. We have the kids that come in like, well, I like to write, so I thought I'd try it out. We have kids coming in that, oh, my parents were in this, or my grandma was in it, and like, hey, they said I have to do this too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a family line, which is, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, we know this is important. It was valuable to us. Mm-hmm. We think it'll be valuable to you. We do have in class, in school, a broadcast journalism class.
That's amazing.
Those kids, yeah, it's really cool. Those kids produce a weekly like TV show for our homeroom about the events in school. But then they're also the ones going out and they're broadcasting football games, basketball games, the sports events, and they've got kids that are doing the commentary.
Yes.
So sometimes there's crossover that they're doing that. Like, I really like this journalism thing and I want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get kids that are like, well, you know, why not? I'll try this. They realize, yeah, interviewing is not my thing.
Yeah.
And they turn like they're great photo journalists. So there's really a huge variety.
If you're just joining us, Amy Tubbs is our guest. She's a journalism instructor for Pulaski High School, which is located a little bit west of Green Bay. And we're talking about Pulaski News, which is the big and only newspaper in that community. Amy, I'm curious, you were talking about the kids learning how to interview. I'm wondering if the students who are involved with this paper, if you have noticed that they have developed better interpersonal communication skills by doing this job.
I think so. You know, especially we'll get some real shy ones in that love to write. And at first, you know, they're sending me emails in class, like why I'm, you know, 10 feet away from them because they're nervous to talk in person. And yeah, that's kind of a thing these days. And then by the end of the class, they're coming up, they're having a conversation. Some of them will take it more than 1 year and we'll talk about, hey, how was it your first interview versus now? They're giving tips to the newer students, but they're confident and they're comfortable. And they always say at the end, the most interesting stories they did were the ones where they got to meet people and talk to them.
I'm interested to find out, I do not want to turn this political, I promise you this, but something that we see in the media that is a big concern is that interviewers do not push forward. I don't want to say push back, push forward. When questions are answered in a way that seem to service the person being asked in a way that relieves them of responsibility, we see journalists who just kind of move on. Is that something you teach them? Is like, keep digging until you find the answer you're looking for. And then when you found it, there you go. But like, don't, you know, teaching them how to sniff out the BS in an answer, I should say. How about we'll go right there.
Nice and short. I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the stories we do aren't the, you know, we're not trying to uncover the truth kind of stories. Mm-hmm. We're a little more feel good stuff, but we do have conversations about that, you know, you need to know what your angle is going in and you need to know what you want to find out and kind of rephrase. But most of our interviews, like the people that we're talking with want to help us and they want to tell their story.
Right.
Not
you're so, not you're yeah, you're not coming up against a lot of opposition, I would assume. Right. But I still think it's important. Are they taught that as a journalist, your role is not to just be a stenographer? Right?
Yeah. You know, we do talk about that a little bit, but it's also more just making sure that you're telling the thorough story,
yeah,
I guess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
While having follow-up questions and making sure you've got everything you need.
Do you ever have kids who walk through and say, "I've got the scoop," and they try to find the story? They're like, "No, it's just a water department meeting. It's fine. No conspiracies."
Yeah, you know, we've brought up topics before. They'll kind of like, we should write about, and then we kind of talk about, you know, is this going to work? Is it going to fit? And, you know, we kind of tweak that. They're getting better at finding things in the community and saying, hey, this is going on. We should write about it. You know, like today we just had our story meeting, and one person found out that the local dentist is doing a stitching event where kids can bring in their stuffed animals and get them stitched up. I was like, oh those that's are cute. Hilarious.
That's right? Cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. And like, I didn't know that was going on. So that's really cool that they know something in the community now that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Well, and that just tells you too, that even in a small community like yours, there's still stuff happening that not everyone is aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just joining us, we are speaking to Amy Tubbs on Matt and Aaron Air. She is the journalism instructor at Pulaski High School. Pulaski in Brown County, not in Milwaukee County, as we've had some confusion on the live stream. But yes, up there in Green Bay, and you are teaching young people how to become journalists. And I think that is vitally important. We talk about that all the time. We work for a media network and we have local people on the ground reporting that local news to the people it affects directly. And that's, you know, we live in 24-hour news, and that 24-hour news, I'm watching it right now on my television here, and it's not in Pulaski or even Milwaukee or even Wisconsin. So finding those connections and young people understanding the power of it, even if it's feel-good stories, it still connects with people and allows them to understand their communities.
That is a really powerful thing. And I think, you know, some of our students are bused in from quite a distance, and so they're maybe not living right in Pulaski. And so them discovering their own community that they go to school in, that's really powerful to watch happen. Because they're like, oh, I didn't know we had a museum. It's cool.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any graduates, Amy, who went on to go into media or journalism? I mean, since you've been around since 42, I would imagine some have.
Yeah, we've got a few notables. Jackie Bonashinsky in 1988 won a Pulitzer Prize for feature writing, which is just incredible.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
And this past year, we had two students. They're working at different TV stations, Bella Van Lannen and Holly DeRuyter. Weirdly, they were both nominated in the same regional Emmy Award program for diversity stories that they had produced.
That's amazing.
That's really impressive.
I know. It's really cool. You know, and there's other students that go on to work at their school papers. You know, we've got another one on a local TV station reporting now. So some of them are going on and making this a career.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
We love hearing from that. Yeah. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, most definitely. That gives hope.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That gives me hope. Amy Tubbs is a journalism teacher at Pulaski High School West of Green Bay, talking about Pulaski News. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy. It's been really, really interesting. Wish the kids well for us.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Course, absolutely.
Of course.
When we return, we are going to continue talking about journalism and the importance of having reporters on the ground. This is going back to an older story, but it's worth repeating. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join, call, or text. The number is the same at 855 855- 752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks to Amy Tubbs from Pulaski High School. She is the journalism teacher there, talking about the journalism program and Pulaski News, west of Green Bay, by the way, not Pulaski High School in Milwaukee. But this kind of leads us to this story that we've been sitting on for a while, Greg.
Yeah.
I've wanted to mention this just because I think it really reinforces the importance of local journalism and why it matters. This goes back a couple of years to a Kansas County local newspaper that all started. A confidential source to the paper leaked evidence that a local restaurant owner who'd been convicted of drunk driving kept driving without a license. Now, this paper, the Marion County Record, never published anything related to that because they thought the source was giving this information during a divorce. So yeah, they didn't use that info. But police notified this restaurant owner. The information was going around. So she alleged that the newspaper illegally obtained and disseminated sensitive documents about her, which was not true. That led the sheriff's department to raid the paper.
Oh, my God.
They raided the paper. They raided the owner's home. 98-year-old Joan Meyer collapsed and died of a heart attack the day after they raided her home, because she was so stressed out because of this investigation by the sheriff's department. The raid triggered a fresh chapter in a national debate about freedom of the press, focused on this little town, Marion, about 1,900 people southwest of Kansas City. The sheriff has since apologized, along with a former council member. Yeah, she's still dead, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office wishes to express its sincere regrets to Eric and Joan Meyer and other people for participating in this search warrant on their home and on the Marion County Record. What a nightmare. The newspaper published a story, tried to set the record straight. Then came the raids, authorized by a search warrant. They alleged theft, unlawful use of a computer. They seized all their computers, their cell phones. I mean, it was incredible.
And it's not the only story of that, of local papers being targeted. That comes right here home to Wisconsin, because in 2021, the Wausau Pilot and Review was also sued for, quote, it was defamation. It was for reckless disregard. Yes. And all it was that paper reporting a story that an individual and
a common council member.
It was a businessman. He's now a Republican state senator, Corey Tomchak, who we actually just talked about this week on the
show. That's right. That's right.
He sued the Wausau Pilot and Review after they reported that he was overheard using an anti-gay slur while in the audience of a Marion County meeting. And they reported it. He sued them. The appeals court cited for the Wausau Pilot and Review, and they said that there was no defamation. This was simply reporting the actual news. They were not trying to cause malice against the gentleman who is now a state senator. But this is not even the first, second, or 15th story of someone trying to use their power to end the voice of a local news source.
Exactly. And they do this by, and it's financial. They go after them financially. Yeah.
And that's the thing is the Wausau Pilot and Review eventually win? Yes, they did. But that's not without having to pay the money that it took to get lawyers and to take time, which I don't know if you know this, Jane. Places like the Wausau Pilot and Review, Racine County Eye, this Kansas City paper here, they're not exactly flush with cash.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Washington Post here.
Yeah, the Marion County Record, as far as I know, is not something that's like, you know, a multi-billion dollar media conglomerate. So even though they win, and it's a win for freedom of speech and for local reporting, it still takes a huge chunk out of their budget because they have to pay for this.
Yeah. Well, this sheriff is set to go to trial in February in Marion County on a felony charge of interfering with a judicial process, accused by special prosecutors of persuading a witness to withhold information. Jeez. Yeah, it just gets better and better. He has pleaded not guilty and did not respond to a question from the Associated Press.
So yeah, he'll get pardoned.
Yeah, we'll just have to keep an eye on that.
This is just to further the point for us that, you know, the mission we do at Civic Media is local reporting all over the state. Subscribe to your local papers.
So important.
You know, give gifts of that local paper to people. Tell people about your local papers and get into knowing what's going on in your community. Supporting them is how you find out about the things that directly affect you. A New York Times subscription is great, but if you live in Mozanie, they're not reporting about you. And subscribing to these outlets, whether they're digital or paper, goes a long way and helps your community.
It makes a big, big difference.
Yes, it does.
It really does.
Yes.
Support your local journalism outlets. We need them.
Mm-hmm.
We have news coming up next, and we have reporters all over the state.
Yeah, we do, baby.
And when we come back, we are going to talk about immigration and ICE.
Jeez. Just doing it the right way, Jane.
Yeah, all the worst people, really?
Yeah.
That's all coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.